Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I'm going to really nail it next time.
Yeah, we have to tell our listeners here that one of the featured spots on the Paracast is to get to say those two words. As, of course, James Fox has discovered, of course, Bryce Zabel. But when people like Nick Redfern come on the show, he doesn't say that, he just laughs. He laughs like the shadow. The shadow knows, and then Nick Redfern gives us... he gives us more of a resonant laugh, but we'll go. We have James Fox, part of the team producing Chasing UFOs, on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. And now we're asking your questions, listeners, posting in the question bank over at forum.theparacast.com. Chris?
Correct. One of our longest-time listeners and forum posters, Cotton Z Way, who's been posting for 7 years almost, 6.5 years.
He must be very tired.
He asks an interesting question. You know, we were talking about other side projects that you've been involved with. Now, I remember back in 2010, I was really following your work down in the Gulf. As soon as you would post something on YouTube or I'd hear an interview or any sort of radio thing or podcast thing, I would be glued waiting to hear news because there was such a news blackout about that god-awful BP oil spill. Cotton Z Way wants to know, do you have a planned release date for your pretty slick documentary about the spill? And also, do you have any other ideas that are either you're working on or considering to do a documentary on outside the UFO subject? Now, we've kind of talked about that, but what about your documentary about the Gulf oil spill?
I finished a rough cut of that. I signed a contract with MTV. It's a subsidiary of MTV. It's the contract with MTV, and I'm trying to remember the name of the other parenting company. But in any case, and I produced a 97-minute rough cut of the film, which was pretty good. And then they reviewed it, and they said, cut it down and make some changes and add some additional stuff to it. So I went back to the drawing board. I went back to the Gulf a year later, which was last year, and I reshot a whole bunch of great new material, unfortunately sad new material, on the piece, and started to integrate that back in and got probably, I don't know, maybe 40% done. And then the National Geographic gig came and was just all-consuming. And now I am seeking post-production funds. I probably need about 3 months with post-production funds to have the film complete. And I'm sort of setting my sights on that a little bit right now. But like I said, it's been all-consuming doing this National Geographic gig the last 6-7 months. So, yes, I do fully intend on getting that film out. And the irony of it is it's almost good that because it would have been ideal to get that film out exactly on the one-year anniversary, but it just didn't happen. I got close. But the fact that I didn't means that now I've logged, you know, followed the stories of all these people at the time, a year later, and then now 2 years later. So, you know, when the film comes out, it will have the event itself and then the aftermath 2 years later.
When is some PR guy from BP going to come with a big Samsonite filled with old $100 bills?
You'll be the first people I call if that happens.
Yeah, please. Here's another question from this one from Boomerang, who's been a poster for about a year and a half.
And by the way, I won't account for these names, Paul Drew Wurst and Boomerang and Return Visits, the next one, I think.
Cotton Z Way. Mr. Fox, there are numerous accounts on record of what appear to be standard military aircraft involved with or in pursuit of UFOs. The Cash Landrum case is a classic example, as is the Stevensville case, which you were not really able to cover because of time constraints. But do you think the jet fighters and helicopters observed as part of these events are genuine terrestrial aircraft or another aspect of the illusion created by the phenomenon itself?
The question basically is, do I feel that we're actually pursuing these objects?
Mm-hmm. Now, Linda Howe would say, for instance, helicopters seen around cattle mutilation sites are holographic images put there by the aliens to fool us, which I don't give one bit of credence to. But are we dealing with the military monitoring these craft and following them, or do you think the phenomenon is supplying this visual data for us to throw us off our game.
Well, if you've got an idiot like me out there chasing UFOs with limited resources, then I can only imagine with proper resources at one's disposal and a curiosity and a methodology to monitor the airspace, then why wouldn't they be? And I say they, and that's the military. Of course they are.
Especially
right?
if they're flying around Bush's ranch. You bet they'd marshal their resources, especially if you have an object that is a mile wide flying into restricted airspace around Bush's Crawford Ranch.
Oh, yeah. No, they scrambled jets. You know, I heard a pretty damn credible source from, well, obviously there's been a number of cases, but one in particular. The governor of Fife Simon had told me that they scrambled jets from Luke Air Force Base to intercept that object. And I wish like heck I could remember the guy's name or more details, but basically there was an F-16 scrambled to intercept whatever the heck it was that was flying over Phoenix March 13th, 1997. And when the pilot returned, they had to pull him out of the cockpit because he was so terrified.
Wow.
Do you remember? Because I actually heard a recording that was given to me by a researcher, and I believe it was one of the airmen that helped pull this guy out of the craft. He was rocked to the core by what he saw.
There have been a number
of accounts
like that, yeah.
You know, what are we going to do? If I take any kind of plane and I fly over sensitive airspace, specifically that of like Area 51 or something, you don't think the military is going to send up aircraft to investigate?
No, they're just going to shoot you down.
Speaking of which, did you attempt during the show, or have you so far, do you plan to, did you attempt a flyover of Area 51?
That'd be like definite jail.
But it would sure make the headlines.
There's reasons why I can't even talk about that on any of the episodes because of the sensitive nature of one of the co-hosts' employment. That's as far as I'll go on that one.
Well, the plot thickens again.
He's one of them.
He looks innocent enough. Looks can be deceiving, though.
He's one of the brightest people I've ever met.
Yeah, he seems pretty on the ball. He's definitely a scientist.
Do you think at the end of the series you're going to make him a believer?
Do I think? There were times in the interviews where I would look over at him, one of which was with Apollo 14 astronaut Gear Mitchell. He's also applying to be an astronaut. And there were times when he would look over, you know, I'd look over at him, and I could see the gears turning, you know. What if? But he's a scientist. He wants to see tangible data, you know, let the data speak for itself. And I don't blame him, you know. And he hasn't had a whole lot of experience other than what we just did, talking to witnesses. But he was very, on a number of occasions, he was very intrigued. He really was. I mean, how could you not be?
Right. I mean, you'd have to really have your head in the proverbial sand pile not to
exactly.
not to at least be intrigued enough to look into it further.
Yeah, you know, I must say, there are a handful of people out there, Dr. Jalen Hynek being one of them, that really swayed me quite early on. You know, when you hear from someone whose job it was to investigate sightings for the Air Force for all that, was it, 48 to 69, and then say the things he did post-Blue Book, and then see what sort of stunts he pulled during his time at Blue Book and Grudge and Sign and everything else.
And, of course, Swamp Gas.
Yeah, we can't forget that.
I remember Swamp Gas.
Michigan 66.
I was working. That's my first job.
That was from the Michigan hearings.
Sure. That was my first job, by the way. I was working for Saucer News with Jim Owsley, and that story came across our table, and we covered it. How about them apples? Okay. We have James Fox.
That is so cool. Hey.
We have James Fox from the Chasing UFOs team. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have James Fox making appearance number 444 on the show. After 3 years, he's now involved with Chasing UFOs. And we've been asking your questions, ladies and gentlemen, posted at forum.theparacast.com in the question bank. Chris, we have maybe one or two more questions.
We do. SRL, who is a about a year and a half, two-year poster.
I'd love to know what that SRL means.
Standard Research Laboratory? I don't know. Anyway, James, have you ever investigated USOs, unidentified submerged objects? And if so, what might you be able to tell us about them? And a second question, have you ever interviewed witnesses who have claimed to have had paranormal experiences before witnessing an aerial anomaly?
No-ish to the first question, and yes to the second question. I have looked in a little bit of that case. Was it Nova Scotia?
Shag Harbor.
Yes, thank you. I looked into that one a little bit, and I've actually spoken to a couple people in the Navy that said they picked up things on sonar, traveling at extremely high speeds underwater. But that's the extent of my USOs. Sorry. Yeah,
USOs.
Trying to get that one right. And in terms of the other question, yes, I have had witnesses report to me that they feel something prior to a sighting, or that they're drawn to a window, or that they, it's almost like they're on autopilot, like someone sort of guiding them. That's just what's been reported to me. I personally have not experienced that, but what I have experienced, which is rather interesting, I know that it's not directly your question, but when I had a sighting myself back in 1989, I remember my girlfriend looking at me. We were lying in bed looking out the bedroom window, and just above the treetops, there's this sort of egg-shaped thing that was sort of kind of dimming and then brighting, almost like it was like breathing or something. It was weird. She looked at me and she said, "What the bleep is that?" And I said, "I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, it knows we're looking at it." So there was a weird sort of sense, and she said, "I feel that too." It's funny, it's an old girlfriend of mine, Lisa Reinhardt, and I bumped into her just a couple of years ago. We're talking over 20 years ago. And I bumped into her just 2 years ago down in San Diego. And I said, "Lisa," she had a husband and a lovely daughter, 6-year-old daughter. And I said, "You remember that sighting we had?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "What do you remember?" She told me. She said, "It knew we were looking at it." I said, "Yeah, I felt that too." So all these years later, we remembered it that way. So, interesting. I've had some witnesses talk about being drawn to a window or doing a certain something, feeling some level of communication. And then my only personal experience with that is that once looking at this object, I felt that it knew we were looking at it. I don't know. I hope that helps.
It does. And I've, having investigated quite a number of cases myself, I'm surprised at the number of times I've heard some sort of, some pre-reaction to an event just seconds or minutes before it happens. And you know, possibly that could be equated to some sort of electromagnetic field effect. Ray Stanford calls it euphoria, that the magnetic field actually does impact the person and gives them kind of an elated sense sometimes. Animals, of course, we know react to that. But back to the first question on USOs, I would really recommend you read Ivan T. Sanderson's book, Invisible Residents, which is a classic from the 70s. At the time, he estimated upwards of 50% of all UFO sightings could be equated with bodies of water. And for anyone interested in USOs, that's a really important book to read. I have another question here from Muad'Dib.
Yeah, how did you – I'm impressed.
Well, that's from Dune, I think, right? From the Frank Herbert book, Dune, the Muad'Dib. Anyway, Muad'Dib. Muad'Dib is a brand new poster. This will be his first question asked on air. Welcome to the team, Muad'Dib. I'd be curious to know what James thinks about the, and I add famous, photograph of the triangular UFO from the Belgium wave, UFO wave back in the, I believe the 80s, that now we've found out that it's probably a hoaxed photograph. This is one of the most famous UFO photographs. Leslie Keene used it in her book, her recent book.
I used it in my film.
You
I know what I
it
saw.
In your
I
film.
Got it
Paul David, I think, has used it in one of his. So do you think that's...
Well, here's the interesting twist to that. When I got the photograph, I saw it in the early to mid-90s. I think it was taken in 90, 91, something like that. Wasn't it somewhere around then, theoretically, or supposedly?
I think you're right. It was
And
the
I got
90s.
It from General de Brouwer, the Belgian general. And I said, "Boy, I'd love to use this image in my film. I know what I saw." And he said, "Well, you have to contact the the owner, Petit Rochon or something like this. I did. And the interesting thing about it was that they had no interest in pawning the thing off. It was like I had to go out and ask for it, almost kind of beg to use it. So it was kind of, and that the guy didn't want his, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost positive he didn't want for the longest time even his identity be revealed. It was like he took this thing and took the photograph. So when I found out it was possibly hoaxed, I've heard that so many other times with cases that I'm familiar with that it really makes me wonder. It was like suddenly, you know, the Air Force coming out saying, hey, Roswell is just the Project Mogul, or, you know, the McMinnville, Oregon photographs are debunked, or the Santa Ana. I've even had people tell me, oh, yeah, the Santa Ana pictures, weren't those debunked? So I'm suspicious. But, you know, do we know for a fact that he's the one that shot it and then debunked it, later debunked it? Because as far as I knew, the person who shot it didn't even want their identity revealed. So if someone just came forward now and said, hey, I shot that picture and I'm debunking it, how do we know that that guy really did shoot that picture?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Good point. Also, the Oliver's Castle footage of the orbs supposedly creating a crop circle, initially that was debunked as being done a very elaborate hoax by someone, you know, with a background in video effects and post-production. But then years later, I think last year, people are starting to look at that film again and say, well, wait a minute, there's... how do we really know that this is not a real film clip? So, yeah, that's hoaxes are really now with the technology the way it is.
90s,
you know, the technology
is making that guy down, and he just was totally anonymous.
Yeah, and with the technology just leaping ahead of us in leaps and bounds, this is going to become more and more of a problem.
If we knew definitively the photograph originated, I'm going to throw a random name out there from John Doe. And we all knew John Doe. There was a face to the photograph, and, you know, and he paraded it around the world. And then 10 years later, his conscience got the better of him and said, hey, guys, you know, I'm the same, it's the same face that's been on photograph. Really sorry for what I did, but I faked it. That would be one thing. But in this case, it's not that cut and dry, you know?
You know what's cut and dry is telling you this. we've got James Fox. These segues, you know, they pay me for this. We have James Fox of the Chasing UFOs TV show. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people have viewed to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I want to tell, by the way, our friend James Fox, he should keep his day job. But hey, he's got an interesting day job because it sometimes includes nights where they go out together, he and his fellow travelers, on chasing UFOs. And they look for things at night because it looks good on film. You know, you've covered a lot of the material that we will see for episode one. Now,
I mean, you guys ever tried to sell a used car? Don't you want to show it to the potential buyer at night so he doesn't pick out all the imperfections?
You know what? It's funny. I'm the kind of person who doesn't want to bother with that. I did it once. I sold my son's well-worn Honda Accord that he had wrecked 16 or 20 times or something. You know, it was put together pretty well, I think, and I got a decent amount for it from somebody who was a friend of a relative, and that's the only time I've done it. I don't have the time or energy to go through that, and so I just prefer to go to the dealer and pray.
So you go out selling a used car. I'm starting to get your flavor a little here. Okay.
It's hard enough to sell advertising for a radio show and for a website. I am not a salesman. I don't play one on TV, in a reality show, or otherwise. Okay, episode two is Dirty Secrets that I got to look at. And this one, you've gone to California, Fresno, Sacramento, etc. What were you in search for?
Well, we had reports. I initially had reports. I contacted a gentleman named Jeffrey Gonzalez, really well-connected, very enthusiastic guy in the area. And he put me in touch with a couple of people, one guy named Justin, who, well, there's been reports, I'll back up for a second, there's been a lot of reports in the area of these triangular-shaped silent craft, I think they're roughly the size of a football field, that maneuvered silently in the night sky and rather slowly. He showed me some rather impressive video footage, I must say, and it came from a couple of people in the area. And one person that he put us in touch with, named Justin, a former military guy who captured one of these things allegedly crashing into a hillside. And there appeared to be, according to the witness eyewitness testimony as well as the video footage, some sort of recovery operation going on at night, which I found really interesting. On top of that, it's fairly recent, too, in the last couple of years. On top of that, there was an older case in the area from a guy named Officer Amparano, and he had a close encounter of the second kind. He had kept all of his original gear, his medical records from from the hospital, the local news stories. He kept everything, which was a very, very impressive case. And so I pitched the idea of going to California. As a matter of fact, we were putting together ideas for California and I think Ohio. And we got more good stuff out of California. And to be honest with you, I mean, I only live just a few hours away from Fresno. I live in about an hour north of San Francisco. So I was kind of shocked to think that there could be this activity going on in my backyard and I didn't know about it, you know. And when I got there, you know, while some of it seemed a bit prosaic, other parts of it didn't. And so it was rather an interesting episode.
Now, in this case here, did you encounter any evidence of Men in Black presence?
No. And when we first got there, we were kind of making fun of Jeffrey a little bit because he kept going on about, you know, every time a witness captures something good on video, there's these white vans showing up at their house and they seem to be under surveillance. And, you know, Jeffrey's a great guy and he's got a great sense of humor, but there was a tone of seriousness to him as well about this. And some of the other witnesses were pretty sure they were being followed. And it's one thing to hear about these stories, but when you really meet these people and they're real people and you think, well, he certainly seems sincere. Maybe he's a little paranoid, but he certainly seems sincere. And while we were there for a week, we had a couple of white vans show up, and they, of course, played it up and stuff, but we did. And but who knows who they were. It could have been coincidence. It could have been we were being looked at. Who knows? But we were definitely poking around.
Now, when you do these shoots, do you announce to the locals that you're going to be there, or do you just show up?
We announce to some locals that we're going to be there. You know what I mean? We don't want to make a huge scene, more than we already do when we show up, but so some locals, we have a scout that goes out a week in advance, secures locations. If we need any permits to access, we generally get those and, you know, kind of find out about availability and you know, shoot locations and stuff. Because when you got a big crew, lots of gear, you don't want to be out there just kind of fumbling around. You want to have everything kind of set. So usually in a week in advance, we send out a skeleton crew of people to secure locations, permits, that sort of thing.
Do you get second unit footage, things like that, before you do the actual visit?
You mean review some of the UFO footage? Or?
No, I'm thinking in terms where you do some pre-shoots before your full
call. Oh, we'll have someone send photographs, like, you know, just literally take simple digital photographs and send for location spots. Yeah, we do that. But in terms of video footage, no. But a lot of times if we have, you know, some eyewitness who captured something intriguing on camera, we want to see that. And a lot of times they'll send us a low res and we'll take a look at it. Some of it's quite impressive. Did you guys see the California episode?
I saw part of it, then I ran into a problem with my computer's DVD drive. So I've seen half of it. I'll have to see the other half either, you know, shortly thereafter and hopefully get DVDs of the rest of the episodes. But I got into like number 25 minutes, I think. And then I had to restart the computer, and then there's dust. This is Arizona. There's a lot of dust that gets inside those slot-loading DVD drives, and every so often I have to clean the thing out. So I will.
Wow.
Not an excuse, folks. This is true.
Okay. Not some big conspiracy and Men in Black came and shut your computer down or anything like that?
Shh.
You can't handle the truth.
Keep your day job. I don't think Imitations does it. I don't think Rich Little will feel he needs to be replaced anytime soon.
His first mistake turned out to be his last. How's that?
You can't handle the truth.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of forget it. If we try to do this, you know, the listeners are just going to leave us in droves. They'll listen to Brand X, where they don't hear any really good interviews.
No, good band, Brand X.
That's right. For future episodes, can you give us in the remaining segment the bill of fare? What will we expect for episode number 3? I assume they're all in the can now, right?
Yes, yes. Well, we talked a little bit about Virginia. There is, we went to Arizona, and we managed to track down, which is really cool, we managed to track down a gentleman who shot the only footage I've ever seen of what appears to be a very large boomerang-shaped object flying overhead. And the interesting thing about this was I knew about the footage, and I featured a little bit of it, and I know what I saw, but I didn't know who shot it.
James, are you referring to the Phoenix Lights, the famous Phoenix Lights, March 17th?
No, I'm not. It was shot four or five years earlier, 93, I think. But it's in the Phoenix area, and it's of a very large boomerang-shaped craft. Okay, so the footage I'm referring to is we managed to track down the guy behind some footage that appeared sort of somewhat mysteriously. The no name attached to it, no witnesses. You hear, you know, voices from the people who shot it, but that's it. And the footage is impressive, but somewhat inconclusive because without, you know, someone describing what was seen with the naked eye and the experience prior to getting the camera on, you're kind of left going, Well, we managed to track down that guy, and we did an interview with him, which was quite impressive, actually. Footage taken in 1993. That will be featured in an upcoming episode. I think it's going to be aired on the 20th. It'll be the following week, so that'd be like the 7th, 8th, I'm not sure. You have to look up on netgotv.com. But so we have the Travis Walton case. We went and revisited.
Don't rely on us for the dates, by the way. Just go to the site. And we have it linked at theparacast.com. There's a direct link to the show's page. This way, there's no question about finding the episodes that will interest you. You'll see what's upcoming from there.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
I'm trying to make it easy for everybody. Don't forget, neighbors, you can also find us on Twitter. That's where we are. We are the Paracast on Twitter. So send us a tweet if you have some comments to make about the show. Just a click away, and we have one more click to go. James Fox of Chasing UFOs is joining us. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Smartest thing my company did was to give us WebEx. I'm in sales, and now I get twice the meetings, close twice the business, and make twice the money. Guess I should say thank you to the folks in IT.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com. WebEx.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home cooked meals, you can cut your food costs in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guarantee.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I think we're being possessed on the Paracast, ladies and gentlemen. James Fox has possessed the entire show, and he's currently possessing one-third of Chasing UFOs. And as we've mentioned before, he has two partners, Aaron Ryder and Ben McGee, and they do riding around the country looking for UFOs. And we talked about an episode that will cover things that are happening in Phoenix. What other episodes can we look forward to? Let's maybe have a summary of a few more.
Okay, we've got, we went to Mexico, Chichen Itza. We had a close encounter with a creature in the forest.
Whoa, stop. Where'd this happen?
You know, it's funny. We were in Chichen Itza, and we actually got access to the place entirely on our own at night for like 5 hours.
So this was a specific place in that city where things had gone wrong or things had happened.
Yeah, Chichen Itza is an ancient Mayan city that is at the end of the Yucatan Peninsula, right outside the city of Merida.
Okay, that geography lesson now, what did you guys see?
So it was really funny. When we got there, we rented the place out for, I think, 5 hours at night. It was incredible. I got to hike up El Castillo, which is the four-sided pyramid that the Mayans built for the feathered serpent, that apparently descended from the heavens and shared with them all kinds of secrets and whatnot. And it was just incredible to have the opportunity to walk around on that and investigate. But one of the night guardsmen wanted desperately to show me something. And he showed me this photograph that he had taken in the daylight. And he was just, he's just a groundskeeper. And it revealed what appears to be a creature looking over one of the walls. It looked like an alien kind of thing. And, it was rather interesting, actually, to see. But so we're out there, like, poking around the forest, and this, we find out later there's all kinds of poisonous snakes out there. But we stumbled upon with infrared.
You find out later, life. That really is the unkindest cut of all.
Can I give away what we saw or no?
You know what? We obviously want people to watch the show. Why don't you give us a hint? Enough of a hint where people will actually want to see the show. I understand the marketing here. There's a lot of marketing on the show, and we want to create a little bit of suspense. Say whatever you want, right here.
We came across something alive that would have been extremely very dangerous, let's put it that way. We captured it on FLIR. That's another really interesting thing, having those instruments out there under the cover of darkness. You pick up things out there, the forest is teeming with life that you don't really see with the naked eye. You suddenly have night vision and infrared whatnot, and,
Well, remember, night vision goggles were from alien technology, right?
That's what Corso would say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started about that.
I knew you were going to say that.
All right. So you see the creature. We'll have to wait for the episode. Where else did you go for this first season?
I'm sorry. We went to Brazil. We went to Mexico. We went to Florida. We went to the Everglades. We went to Cape Canaveral. We went, obviously, to Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, I think, and California.
So basically, you have a lot of places to go to that you haven't gone to yet, and we have to hope
that... Yes, we have a lot of places we want to go to, and I want to do more international stuff.
Okay.
And like I said, if the show does well, I'd like to shed some light on the fact that, you know, a lot of Americans think that this is a phenomenon that happens primarily right here in America, and it's sort of secret military craft, but it's not the case at all. I mean, these things, there's some amazing cases that happened in Africa and other parts of South America. I believe Italy's kind of a hot spot right now.
Yeah, Turkey. China, there's the largest UFO group in the world. There's a million
what
people.
What the heck is going on in China? Australia, New Zealand. Yeah, so I'd like to shed light around the world. I'd like to continue to do that.
Yeah, they just launched the first Chinese woman astronaut, I think, last week. And as the rocket was leaving the atmosphere, a couple of UFOs showed up and shadowed it for a ways. And they got it on film from, I think, the Gobi Desert. They had a camera array that was filming it from the side and were able to get some visual data.
Wow. Wow.
We know everything here. Nothing happens that we don't hear about. I don't know that we have listeners in China. I know we have listeners in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that we're in China, but I kind of suspect we are.
Yep.
Well, if anyone out there has any, if you don't mind me saying this one more time, if anyone out there has any good cases, photographs, evidence they'd like us to pursue, please, 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 with sugar on top, go to my website, I Know What I Saw, themovie.com, and contact me. I do get back to everyone. Sometimes it takes me a little while, but I promise you I'll get back to you. I Know What I Saw.
I've got a bunch.
And does anybody else have any information on that sighting over the Chinese airport? Do we ever figure out what that was?
There's quite a bit of stuff out there if you do a little research. There's quite a number of people that have looked into that. And there was, three sets of sightings over Chinese airports during the time period, but I think you're referring to the first one, which was the most notorious one.
Yeah, it apparently shut the airport down.
Yeah. I'll dig into that for you. I do have a little file on that. I'll shoot it your way.
And, of course, we've got the O'Hare incident, which I can't believe we haven't had more traction on. Can you imagine? I know there's a photograph of that UFO because I got a hold of the FAA tapes in the tower, and I can hear them mention the photograph.
Well, did you check the NARCAP site at all? Because I believe they have some information there.
I'm sorry?
There's an organization called NARCAP.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with NARCAP.
Right.
Yeah.
They, I believe, have some information there.
Okay. All right. Cool.
That's the National Aviation Reporting Center.
Yeah, Richard Haynes.
Richard Haynes on
Anomalous Phenomena.
Richard Haynes,
and then there's Peter Davenport with, what's his organization called?
The National UFO Reporting Service.
Okay. Not NICAP?
Not NICAP. NARCAP, which
is,
if you go to NARCAP, NARCAP.org, National Aviation Reporting Center on Anomalous Phenomena. We've had Richard Haynes on the show, so, you know, we do know these people.
Right.
So that might be one place to check. I can see now that you guys could do this show for 10 years and barely cover the service. Are you going to focus on any of the side issues, such as disclosure, such as what the governments may know or not know, or focus strictly on the case histories?
One thing that I'm already pushing for, call me crazy, but I have to figure out a way of doing this.
Excuse me, you're crazy. You're now called crazy.
Yeah, crazy like a fox.
You wouldn't be a first. But I would really like to, I'd like to go to the Hill and talk to members of Congress and bring with me the highest ranking military officers I can get my hands on and go out there and say, what's it going to take to get this story out, sir? What's it going to take to get congressional hearings? What's it going to take to rattle your cages enough where we can actually you know, get to the bottom of this.
Well, just bring John Alexander along. He's the ex-head of non-lethal weapons technology development. He should be able to put the fear of God in these guys.
Well, you know, it's also really neat, I think, this whole initiative that he just started about, you know, amnesty.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
That kind of an interesting angle.
That's a twist of amnesty, which is give amnesty to E.T.
Yeah, give amnesty to the military witnesses so they can come forward without, you know, fear of prosecution or anything else.
Right, sure. Rescind security oaths after 30 years or something.
Is that what it is?
Well, that's just an idea that maybe you could put a time frame on it.
I'm talking about even before that. But, you know, I would like to. I would love nothing more than to really use Nat Geo to, you know, get access to areas that I can't normally get access to.
Tell our listeners in 30 seconds or less about chasing UFOs.
It's a fun, entertaining, informative, and I think an interesting blend of characters in pursuit of good, solid evidence from good, solid cases from around the world.
And by the way, folks, you can also check out Chris's updated OurStrangePlanet.com. We have the Paracast on Twitter. And also, you can check us out forum.theparacast.com. James Fox, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Guys, thanks so much for having me on.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Today only, Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again with up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at BePrepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally freeze-dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry, through today only. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.